All right, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, a mekadesh isha ubita, o isha v'achuta, a person who tries to engage halachically with a woman and her daughter, o isha v'achuta, a woman and her sister, ke'achat, in a singular transaction, einan mikudeshot. It doesn't work. The kiddushin are not chal. We'll discuss in the Gemara what the issue is or what the problem is in establishing kiddushin like this. Umaseh. The Chamesh Nashin, there was an incident with five women, ubehen shtei achayot. Amongst those five women were two sisters, liket adam echad kalkala shel te'enim, an individual collected a basket full of figs, vishalehen haita, it was theirs, but vishal shvi'it haita, but it was the Shemitah year. The Gemara will later on get to discussing this part of the Mishnah, not in today's daf. Bamar, harei kuchem mikudashot li, bekalkala zo. He says, with this basket of figs, all of you should be married to me. V'kibla achat mehem ayadei kulan. And one of the women accepts it on behalf of all of the five. V'amru chachamim, ein achayot mikudashot. The sisters are not married, whereas the other women are married because they don't have the preclusion or exclusion of the problem of marrying two sisters. Zayvis, the Mishnah picked, isha ubita, a mother and a daughter and two sisters because a person is not allowed to marry those two individuals. The question which the Gemara asks is, Minahani Mile, how do you know that the Kedushin don't work in this case? So Amarami Barchamar Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, Isha Elachuta Lotikach Litzror. So it says you may not take a woman and her sister, Lotikach Litzror. It's Parsha Shavua, depending where you are, last week, this week, Isha Elachuta, that a woman and her sister, Lotikach. Kicha is a Lashon of Kedushin. So you may not take them. You may not establish kiddushin with a woman and her sister. At Torah Mamar, Shasha Nasu Tzarot Zulazu, Lo Yelo Lukuchim, Afilu Ba'achat Mehem. When they become co-wives to each other, kiddushin will not take effect. So that's what it means. Lo Tikach Litzror. You cannot create a tzara. You cannot create a co-wife situation through kiddushin. Amalei Rava. Rava says, back to Rami Bachama, that's very difficult. Ihochi, I know dichtiv. What are you going to do with the pasuk that says, v'nichrutu anifashot osot mikar v'amam? How can there ever be a punishment of karet for someone who does this? I kedushin lo tafsiba, karet mi mechayev. If kedushin never takes effect, then however you're going to be chayav karet. The problem being that if you cannot establish kedushin with at least one of them, you're never going to fall into the iser with the other one of them. In that you can only have a chayav karet if you're married to one. And then the other one is a chiyuv karet. The way that you've established, the way that you're reading the pasuk now is that the case is a case where he tries to establish kiddushin with both of them. And the kiddushin fails. If there is no kiddushin, then the other woman can't be subject to karet, or engaging with the other woman can't be subject to karet. Right. You could read the pasuk to say that if he married one, then the other one is subject to chiyuv karet. But then, if you read the pasuk of Yishalach Utalo Tichach Litzror in that manner, then you can't bring a proof to our Mishnah, the fact that when you do it simultaneously, it fails. The fact that he reads it in that manner says that the Torah is talking about a case of simultaneous kiddushin. And if you tell me it fails, then how do you explain the later pasuk that says that they're chayav karet for it? It just doesn't match. Elama Rava, kra b'zeh chazeh. Rava says exactly what you're suggesting, that the pasuk is talking about a case where it's done sequentially. Where he marries one of them, and then the second one, he cannot marry. Umatnitin. Then how are you going to explain our Mishnah then? Why is it when you do it simultaneously, it doesn't work? Kedirabo, domarabo, kosheinu bezechazeh, afilu bevat achat, eno. It's based on the principle that if you can't do something sequentially, doing it simultaneously does not help you. That's Rabba's principle. So now the Mishnah is not a derivation of the pasuk, it's a logical argument, which is that once we know the din is that when you do it sequentially, the second one is not married, then when you try to do it simultaneously, that's not going to help you anymore by doing it simultaneously, and therefore the kiddushin fail. And that's the reason behind our Mishnah. Now, Gufa, Gemara wants to discuss this principle. Amar Rabba, ko she'enu b'zeh chazeh, afilu v'atachat eino. That principle of Rabba, which is a logical argument, does that really stand the test of halacha? If we go to look at halachot, is that really true? When something fails simultaneously, does it also fail b'vatachat? Eit ve'abaye. So Abaye challenges this principle of Rabba. Hamaber b'maaser. Someone who takes off more maaser than he has to. Maaser by definition is 10% or 1/10 of what he's supposed to take off. What happens if he increases the amount beyond the 1/10? Perutav mitukanim. The stuff that he left behind is fine because he definitely took off the maser that was necessary from those fruits that are left behind. Umasrot mikukalim. Problem is that the section that he separated as maser is problematic because there he has a mixture basically of maser plus tevel. Because whatever he separated off, that maser which he separated off was not on the portion that he's calling maser. It was only on the portion that he left behind that he thinks is chulin. Vamai. Why should that be the case? If he's taking off more than 10%, how does it become maser? Anything that cannot be done sequentially should also not be able to be done simultaneously. Meaning that over here, if you were mekadesh 5% of the maser, and then another 5% to get you to the total 10%, that would work. On the other hand, if you were mekadesh 10% as maser, and then you went back again and tried to be mekadesh another 10% as maser, we would never say that the second 10% had any kedusha or any significance, because you already took off the maser. It's not relevant to take over more than the 10%. So why here, when you're taking off 20% in one shot, does that become problematic? Why isn't it the same as taking off 10% plus 10%? Or you can't take off more than that amount, and therefore it shouldn't be maser at all. Amalei, shayne maser, de'ite dechatzayin. Problem with maser is that it can be done in halves. De'i amar, titkadesh, palga dechitato. If you want to say that a person is mekadesh half a kernel, kasha, it works. So what Rashi suggests over here is that if you wanted to go kernel by kernel and say half the kernel is maser, half the kernel is not maser, it would work. Or if you want to be makdishit for hekdesh as well, you can separate the kernel in half and say half is, half isn't. So what Rashi suggests is that that's the same thing here. When it says this perot or mukukalim is because every kernel now is made up of half maser and half tevel. You're right. He's not successful at making this into 20% maser. Just like when he did it bezech hazeh, it wouldn't work. So to over here, it wouldn't work bevat achat. But differently than in other cases. When we say before, they say when it doesn't work sequentially, it doesn't work simultaneously, we mean it doesn't work at all simultaneously. But over here, it'll work in a manner that would work bezech hazeh also. Which is that if you were to divide up every kernel in half, then that would work as well. So to over here, when he takes out the 20%, what he effectively is saying is, all of these kernels, half of them are maser, and half of them are tevel. Since you have the ability to do such, it works when you do it bevat achat. That's what Rashi suggests over here. Since there is an ability to do such a thing, when you do it bevat achat, that's exactly what we're going to say happens, is that it's manifest in that way. The Ramban explains it slightly differently and says that when you say that your mekadesh half over here, it means 5%. You can take a kernel and be mekadesh half of it, and make that the 5%, and then you could go add on another 5% on top of that. And so since you can put maser together in an incremental manner, so too, and when you do it bevat achat and you say 20%, the 10% will be chal by itself, and the remainder will not be chal, because there's this ability to do maser in incremental steps. If that's the case, you could also create maser and tevel in the same incremental manner, and that's why the bevat achat works over here. So two ways to explain it. Either way, what you end up with is a problem of ma'aser and tevel mixed together. According to most Rishonim, you can solve the problem by mafrish ma'aser from another location on the tevel that is in that 20% amount. The 10% that is tevel, you go somewhere else and take off ma'aser from it, and you can solve the problem. The Gemara brings a statement that you should be do your ma'aser be'umad. Do take off ma'aser based on an estimation. We have the Mishnah in Avot, that one of the mistakes the Perkins are going to make is cholamas umadot. Someone who does it through estimation creates a problem, because by doing an estimation, you're not going to get the 10%. So there's a stira between the Mishnah that suggests that you shouldn't do an estimation because it has to be 10%, versus what you're suggesting, that the Gemara says you should do by estimation because you'll be more generous. It's true that, in general, we would say that by truma, by maser ksafim, and other things like that, that we also allow for increases up to at least a chomesh. And by truma, as long as you don't give the whole thing away, you just need to leave one thing behind, then you can do it with truma. So Tosafot over there is a large Tosafot in Gitin on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph that deals with this issue. It tries to reconcile between what does it mean to do it through estimation versus doing it properly and getting to the 10%. What does it mean that you do it by ayin yofeh? And then why doesn't that cause a problem if you have more than 10% when it's be'ayin yofeh? One of the ways that Tosfot deals with it says that the Gemara says that by regards to Chumat Maser, and not necessarily by Chumah, where Chumah you do it on an estimated basis, but Chumat Maser must be done in an exact manner. And the Abba Elazar ben Gamla over there argues in that sheet of the Chachamim and says that even Chumat Maser can be done on an estimated basis. And obviously Abba Elazar ben Gamla would not subscribe to this concept of Marbe Masrot, Masrotav Mikul Kalim. And therefore his position might be even true with regards to Maaser Rishon itself. And then he brings the additional answer, V'yesh Lomar, the Rabbanan Modu, the Me'umad Havi Chumah, Aval In Mitzvah La'asot Me'umad. So maybe the Rabbanan agree that Me'umad works by Chumah Gedolah, but there's no mitzvah to do it. V'lo Choshiv Marbe Masrot, B'mitkavin La'amud, Yafeh, that maybe there's a distinction between someone who is doing on an estimated basis and ends up giving in a more favorable manner, where we allow that to go through and that's not called marbe b'masrutav, versus a person who intentionally goes over the 10% amount by measuring it and intentionally gives more. In that case, that would be a problem of marbe masrutav, which is masrutav mikukalim. So you have to maybe differentiate between maser and trumat maser, or you have to differentiate between Maser and Shumah. Tosfot tries to deal with your question, which is, it seems like the Gemara favors you doing things by Ein Yofeh. And shouldn't that apply also by Maser? And that's what the Gemara seems to indicate. And Tosfot says, well, it's very hard. If you have 10%, 10% is 10%. Why should you be doing it by estimation then? So that's what Tosfot there tries to deal with that question. So now the Gemara says, Vare Maser Behema. Well, okay, now you're talking about Maser Dagan. Let's talk about Maser Behema, where the 10th animal is given as hekdesh. Now, the maser behema is kadosh, to be put on the mizbeach and eaten by the balim. If it gets a mum in it, then it becomes the mamon balim, and it's eaten with some restrictions, but it becomes or belongs to the balim in that case. So now, here he's separating out maser behema, and generally the way they did this was kibnei maron, that they walked one after the other through the gate, and every 10th one he striped and he marked as being maser behema. So now, the lek of the chatzayin, you can't split it in half. Unlike maser dagan, where you can divide the item in half, or you can give it incrementally, the way the Ramban says, that's just not true by maser da'ima. The lek of a zechar zeh, and obviously you can't create it one after the next, meaning that there's only 1/10. There isn't more than 1/10. V'amar Rava, and Rava tells us, yatsu shnayim basiri, if two walked out as the 10th, meaning that 9 had gone out, and now you're up to number 10. But instead of one going out, two walk out at that time. Bikaran Asiri. And he called them the 10th when two of them were walking out. Asiri v'achadasar mu'uravim zebazeh. Then the 10th and the 11th are mixed up over there. Now, 10th, 11th mixed up. The 10th has a din of maser behema. The 11th has a din of shlamim. We're going to learn that in 1 second. It's really gemarot in Bichorot that prove this, that if a person makes the 11th into maaser, that mistake results in the 11th being a shlamim. So now, when each kid puts out the 10th and 11th together, he's got mixed up there a maaser behema and shlamim together. The Gemara now wants to know, well look, if you did it bezech hazeh, if you did it sequentially, then that wouldn't have been the case. So if you called him 10 and then called him 11, 10 would be maaser behema, 11 would be chulin. All of a sudden here, when you do them simultaneously, 10 and 11 become a mix-up of maser behema and shlamim, and now you're stuck in this bind. Why should it be? If you can't do it sequentially, why should you be able to do it simultaneously? Gemara answers, shiny maser behema, deite b'taut. The answer is that maser behema has a unique din, which is that when you make a mistake in maser behema, it's makdish more than just the 10th. Titnan, karala chi'i asiri. He calls number 9 the 10th. Lasiri chi'i, and number 10 he calls 9. Ulechadasar asiri, and he calls number 11 10. Shloshtan mikudashin. All three of them are mikudash. The first one is mikudash, and you have to eat it bimumo. The number 10 is maser behema. And number 11, if they make a mistake of that, becomes a shlamim. Those are the dinim that are associated with maser behema. But the mere fact that 10 does not literally mean 10, but 10 can be extended onto 9 and 11, shows you that maser behema has the ability to stretch beyond just number 10. And so therefore, when 10 and 11 come out together, the Maaser Behema affects both of them, just like it would if you made a mistake and called number 10, 9, and you called number 11, 10. In that same way, 11 would be Kadosh Bishlamim. So too, when you do it simultaneously, it's Kadosh Bishlamim. So Mer says, very todah. The letter bitaut. Now todah doesn't have that same dispensation, we'll call it, as Maaser Be'ema, that if you make a mistake, it works anyway. The letter nami bezachazeh, and you can't do it sequentially. Be'itmar. And on that we have said, todah she nishchata shmonim chalot. If a todah is brought with 80 loaves, technically a todah should be brought on 40 loaves. 30 mehem are matzah, 3 different types of matzot, 10 each, and 10 of chametz. So those are the 40 loaves that come with a todah, and when you shech the todah, it's mekadesh, the 40 chalot. Instead of bringing 40, he brings 80. Chizkiah amar, kachil arba'im mitoch shmonim. Chizkiah says, 40 out of the 80 work. Whatever, 40 out of those 80 become kadosh with the todah, and the other 40 not. Yochanan amar, lo kachil arba'im mitoch shmonim. Yochanan disagrees and says that 40 out of the 80, nothing happens, and you don't have chalot over here at all. So now this assumption is that they're arguing in Rabbah's din. That's what it seems like. If you could do it b'zechazeh, or you cannot do it b'zechazeh. Over here, where you cannot do it b'zechazeh, if you were mekadesh 40 chalot, and then you tried to be mekadesh another 40 chalot along with this todah, it clearly would fail. So if it doesn't work sequentially, it certainly should not work simultaneously. And that would be the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, Chizkiah will say that doesn't matter. He argues on Rabbah. And in arguing on Rabbah, he will say that if it doesn't work sequentially, it doesn't have any bearing on whether it can work simultaneously. And when he does it simultaneously, then the part that is ra'ui to be kadosh will be kadosh. Now whether he can then go according to Chizkiah and be borer, separate out which 40 are the 40 out of the 80, or is he now stuck with the case of Safeg, that the Rishonim discuss here, especially as the Gemara develops, where Rabbi Yochanan doesn't think Breira works, whether in this case this is not a normal case of Breira, because you clearly are defining the 40, the person who's doing it, or is this a classic case of Breira, and you would have a Safeg, right? That's subject to discussion amongst the Rishonim. The other thing that Rashi notes over here is problematic in this setting up the machloka this way is that Chizkiah is Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. So it's one thing if they argue, as we're going to see in a second, about something that is tangential or how people think about things. But a fundamental halacha, like whether kol she'enu b'zecher ze'enu b'vat achat, to argue about a fundamental law like that seems to be surprising that Rabbi Yochanan would argue on his Rebbe Chizkiah. And that's what we're assuming now, is that he's arguing on his Rebbe Chizkiah about a fundamental din like this. So therefore we say, La Vitmar Allah, didn't we qualify this machloket and say, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the alternate girsus Amar Rabbi Zeira, Hakol Modim, Kohecha Damar, Kachi Le Arbaim Mitoch Shmonim, Kachi. Anytime he says 40 out of the 80, it works. Lo Yikachu Arbaim, Elim Ken Kachi Shmonim. If he says, I'll only have the 40 if all 80 go with them, Lo Kachi. Nothing happens because he clearly can't be Mekadesh 80. Lo Nechlegu Elo Bistam. Question is when he said nothing. What happens in that case? Mar Savar Lachrayut Kamikavein. Chizkiah believes that when he brought 80, he didn't bring 80 to assume that all 80 would be kadosh. He brought 40 and 40 backup. So that when he's mekadesh them, then 40 of them are kadosh, and the other 40 are backup, and that's why it works. Mar Savar, the Kurban Kado Kamikavein. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, believes that when he brought 80, he intended for all 80 to be kadosh, and that's why it doesn't work. Not that they disagree about this fundamental din. Everybody agrees that whatever you can't do, bezer chazeh, you can't do bevat achat. So then, why does it work over here? It depends on what we think the person is thinking. Is he thinking 40 with a backup of 40? And fine, that could work. Or is he thinking 80, and 80 doesn't work? And that's their machloket over here. V'rova lama le lishnuye ki rabo. Why does Rova explain our mission according to Rabba's din, that whatever you can't do sequentially, you can't do simultaneously? Typically, kidushim she'in misirin lebi'aninu. Let him say the failure here is that this is kiddushin that are being established that can never result in a biyah. Because, we're going to see in the next line in the Gemara, that that's a machloket Rova and Abaye, as to whether kiddushim she'en misurin the biyah, kiddushin that cannot result in consummation of the marriage, are they good kiddushin? Obviously here they cannot end in a consummation of the marriage because he has two sisters, and if he had kiddushin with two sisters, there's no way he can consummate the marriage. Because each one of them will be the sister of his wife, and therefore he can't consummate the marriage. A kedushin should fail for that reason. The Gemara says, "L'devarav derami barchama kamar." Enochanami. That's Rava's reasoning behind why the kedushin and the Mishnah fail. But Rami Bar Chama asked the question, and Rava is trying to help Rami Bar Chama come to a conclusion. So Rami Bar Chama brought psukim, and Rava says to him, the psukim are certainly not going to do the job here, because if you interpret the psukim the way you want to, you're going to have a problem with the karet aspect of it. So let me help you out. You don't need to do that. You explain the psukim in a case of bezechazeh, and I'll give you the reasoning behind the Mishnah, is because it's a batachat. Whatever you can't do sequentially won't work simultaneously. Me, myself, I have a different reason why the Mishnah doesn't work. For you, Rami Bar Chama, I want to help you explain it, even if you don't buy into my position that Kedushin, Ashein Misurin the Bia, fail. So now the Gemara moves on to explain this. Itmar, Kedushin, Ashein Misurin the Bia. Kedushin that are established, halakhic engagement that cannot result in a consummation of the marriage. Abaye Amar, Havei Kedushin. It works. Rav Amar, Lo Havei Kedushin. They are not lo havu kedushin. They are not kedushin. They fail. As you know, we know that the machuk between Abaye and Rava, there are six exceptions where we pass them like Abaye, Yal Kagam. And this is one of those exceptions. Kagam, the kuf, is kedushin, Shemis Surin the Biyah. And therefore you can see them where we pass them like Abaye in this instance. And you'll see as we flow through the Gemara that the majority of the questions are against Rava's position over here and make Rava's position extremely difficult. So Amar Rava, Barahina asabra li. Barahina helped me to show that my position is not only a logical position, but derives from the Torah. Kikach ish isha ubala. It says that when a person marries a woman, and ubala, and consummates the marriage. Kedushim asirim the bi'avi avu kedushin. Kedushin that end up in a consummation, that is kedushin. Kedushin shein misurin the bia, kedushin that cannot result in a consummation, lo havu kedushin, or not kedushin. The way that Rashi explains it over here is, kikach ishisha, kicha kicha misteya from, we learned that earlier in the Masechta, that is kedushay kesef. So here, kedushay kesef are still bound by ubala, that there has to be a possibility of bia over here. If there's no possibility of bia, then the kedushay kesef fail. Tosafot and the majority of the Rishonim reject Rashi over here for a very simple reason. Tosafot asks the question, which is Vikasha, the Ha Chayve Lavin, Einan Ruin the Bia, but Tafsei Behu Kedushin. Straightforward, the Gemara tells us in many places that when you have an illicit marriage, when you're marrying an Erva or someone else who's restricted Min HaTorah, only in cases of Chiyuve Karet and Chiyuve Mitat Beitin do we say that the Kedushin don't work at all. The Kedushin are not Chal. But when it's an Isur Lav, or an Isur Asay, Chutz Mi Rabbi Akiva, we say that they are Chal. The Kedushin are Chal, just you can't consummate the marriage. And Kedushin work by Chavi Lavin. According to Rashi's logic, they shouldn't work. These are Kedushin that don't result in Bia. They don't result in Bia, then why is the Kedushin Tofes at all? So how can you have Chuvay Lavin where Kedushin are Tofes? According to the Gemara, that's Tosafot's question on Rashi. Therefore, he reinterprets the explanation here of Barahina. It says what it means is that if Kiddushin generate the Bia problem. By the case of Chuvay Lavin, the reason you can't have Bia is not because of the Kiddushin, it's because of the nature of the relationship between the parties. So in that case, the Kiddushin is not the cause of the resultant lack of consummation or Bia. It's because of their relationship. In that case, Kiddushin Archal. When is Kiddushin Archal? When the Kiddushin itself generates the problem of Bia. And that's in our case here. When you Mekadesh two sisters, the Kiddushin itself is what generates the problem of Bia. Each one independently, if you married them, you could have Bia with them. The only thing that stands between you and the Bia is the Kiddushin that was generated. And that's what it means here. When there's a Kiddushin that generates the Bia problem, that's when it fails. And that's why by Chayve Lavin, there isn't a problem of Kiddushin being Tofsin. Tanan, our Mishnah. Hamekadesh isha ubita, o isha v'achota ke'achat. He does it simultaneously, einan mekudashot. Ha'achat, mi isha ubita, o mi isha v'achota mekudashet. On the other hand, if the marriage was proposed, not as a case where he's trying to engage both of them halachically, but rather one out of the two. He says, one of you two, of a mother and a daughter, or one of you two sisters, then from our Mishnah, the deal would be that they are mikudashot. The kiddushin work. Vamai. Why should it work? Kiddushin, shein misurin the bianinu. These are kiddushin that cannot result in a consummation. He can never marry one of the sisters because he's never certain as to which of the two sisters he ended up with kiddushin with. And since he doesn't know, he could be marrying the woman that he has halachic engagement with, but he also could be having bia with the sister of his wife, the sister of the one that he has kiddushin with. And therefore it would be an isur to engage in bia. So these are kiddushin she'ain misuri in the bia. Yet, seemingly our Mishnah allows such kiddushin to go through. Tiyufta de Rava, that's a strong refutation of Rava's position. Samar Chal Rava, Rava will say, Ule Tameich, according to that explanation or that diuk out of the Reisha, Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah? Maseh b'chamesh nashim, you have that case with five women, u'behen shtei achayot, and amongst them are two sisters. Likeit echad kalkala shel teinim, one individual collected a basket full of dates, v'shalena haita, it was theirs, v'shal shvita haita, it was during the Shemitah year, v'aramar harei kuchem, mekudashot li, b'kalkala zo, and he says that through this basket of teinim, of figs, all of you should be married to me. V'amru chachamim, ein achayot mekudashot, that the sisters don't go through. Achayot hu deinam mekudashot, only the sisters fail. Ha nachriot mekudashot. But from our Mishnah, it sounds like the other women, kiddushin is chal. Hey chidami, what is the case over here? Ilei madam ar kuchem. If he says, all of you should be halachically engaged to me, harei kuchem mekudashot li, he generates kiddushin with all of them at once, that's a problem. That's the equivalent of knei at vichamor. It's a problem that you try to establish a kinyan through one party that is viable and one party that is not viable in a kinyan. For instance, he makes a kinyan or gives a kinyan to you and the donkey. It's clear that the donkey doesn't work. So now, what about the at part of it? Does the other half of the kinyan work? So there, we knei at v'chamor hu, v'at v'chamor lo kana. When you have a situation in which you involve two parties that you're trying to give something to or generate a kinyan with, if one of them does not work, then the other one doesn't work as well. When you've joined them together and given them in a single kinyan, then if one of them doesn't work, then the other also does not work. And that's what you have here, exactly this case. Now that's not the simplest of setups here, because the truth is that we pass on like Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman in the Gemara in Baba Batra says that at v'chamor does work. So either you have to do one of two things here. Either you have to say that the Gemara is trying to establish, even according to the other Deya, the one who argues on Rav Nachman, or you have to suggest that even Rav Nachman would agree in the case of at v'chamor. That generally Rav Nachman says that when it's a questionable type of kinyan, that's where we say where a person might mistakenly have assumed that both kinyanim work, and one of them fails, then the second one fails. But where it's obvious up front that one of the kinyanim is going to fail, like by the case of chamor, then certainly the at will fail as well, even according to Rav Nachman. The Ramban rejects that reading completely because he says it has done nothing to do with the dat makneh. It's nothing to do with the person granting the kinyan. It has all to do with the circumstances of the people receiving the kinyan. And so he rejects that understanding. But those are the two ways to deal with this Gemara, even though it's not the halacha, which is that we're going against Rav Nachman, who we paskin like the halacha. There are those that wanted to suggest that our Gemara proves that the halacha is not like Rav Nachman, because our Gemara now upholds the position that argues on Rav Nachman, although the Rov of the Rishonim believe the halacha is like Rav Nachman, because generally, bidinim, the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Ella, lav, what do you have to say? What's the case in the Sefer of the Mishnah? Damalu achat mikem, that one of you. Viktani ein achayot mikudashot. The situation must be, he's saying that you should all be married to me, and one of the two sisters should be married to me. And it says it doesn't work, that the sisters fail. Well, why? When you say one of the two sisters, the Reisha seemed to indicate that that would be fine, because it's not misurin the bia, but it still works. So now you have a problem. The Rava kasha Reisha. For Rava, the beginning of the Mishnah is problematic, because the diok at the beginning of the Mishnah seems to indicate that if you do one of you two, it works, and that would be kedushim shein misurin the bia. Well, the Abaye kasha Seifa. And for Abaye, the latter half of the Mishnah is problematic because it seems to indicate that if you do one out of two, it fails for both sisters, and there's no kiddushin over here. So Abaye mitaritz the tamei, v'rova mitaritz the tamei. Abaye will explain according to his position, and Rova will explain according to his position. Abaye mitaritz the tamei, v'makadesh yishal bitahu shavachutah ke'achat. That's our beginning of our Mishnah, the rage of the Mishnah. When you do it simultaneously, einan mikudashot. The diok is, ha'achat mishal bitah. Oh, misha va'achuta mikudashot. Then if you did one of those two, one of the two, it would work, even though they are kedushin shem isur in the bia, abaya l'shita to, the kedushin shem isur in the bia works. V'imamar, If he says this, if he says, whoever I can consummate a marriage with, then the Kiddushin should be Chal, it doesn't work. Because now he tied it directly to the success of Biyah. And occasionally he says, one out of you two, there will be no successful Biyah there. And so since he specifically ties it to the Biyah, it fails according to Abaye, Umay Sinami. And that's the incident in the Seif of the Mishnah. B'chamesh nashim uv'en shtei achayot, l'keit achad kalkala shel teinim, v'amar haruya l'mikeli mikem titkadesh li. Whoever is ruya for me should be married to me. V'amaru chachamim en achayot mikudashot. The sisters are not married because they are not ruyot for him. They will not result in a consummation or a bi'ah here. Therefore, they're precluded from his statement in the chamesh nashim. V'rova mitaritz l'tamei. Rova answers according to his own shita. Kadesh achat mishal bitau achat mishav achuta anaseh kemishi kidesh ishal bitau isha achuta keachat. He'll reread the Seifa to say that the example in the Seifa is a case where he does it, yes, simultaneously, but even if you did it one out of you two, it still would fail. Ve'inan mikudashot. None of those work. Umasinami, and we bring an example of that to show you that it doesn't work. Even when you do it one out of two, it doesn't work. Not only when you do it simultaneously, both of you together. Because chamesh nashim uvehem shtei achayot, l'keit echad kalkala shel teinim, v'amar harei kuchem v'achat mishtei achayot mikudashot li. All of you are married to me and one of the two sisters, v'kalkalo zo, v'amuvachamim in achayot mikudashot. Sisters are not married because he said one out of you two. And for Rava, that's a kiddushin she'en misur in the biyah. And therefore it fails. Rashi asks a very fundamental question over here. Aren't we back where we started? Rava said that the problem in the Seifa is, if you have Knei at v'chamor, it fails. So aren't we in the same situation again? He's saying, Harei kuchem v'chat mishtei achayot. All of you and one of the two sisters. That's at v'chamor. The kuchem works. The chamor is the one of the two sisters. It doesn't work. So why aren't we back to Rava's original question? That's at v'chamor and the kedushin shouldn't work. So Rashi implicitly asks that question and he says, v'adolo l'uku ukma. How come the Gemara doesn't establish it? K'gon d'amar achat mikem. One out of you is shum detani b'matnit in kuchem. Because the Mishnah says kuchem. Ve'in l'shabesh ha'svarim. You can't mix up the svarim. Lomar d'achat mikuchem garas. To change the Mishnah completely to say achat mikuchem. You have to maintain a certain semblance of integrity to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says kuchem. So kuchem has to be kuchem. And then the achat I can insert later by achat mishtei achayot. But I can't stand out and say achat mikuchem. So therefore the Gemara said no, that the case is it's kuchem v'achat mishav achota. Now, what Rashi implicitly also does and answers the question is that the kinyan is chal, which is that there is nothing fundamentally wrong with establishing a kinyan with a single sister. What fails over here is that it's a kedushin she'in misur in the biyah. So that's why it's not knei at v'chamor. Knei at v'chamor is that at, people, you accept this kinyan, and the donkey accepts the kinyan. The donkey is not a bar kinyan. It fails completely. The at works. Over there we say no kinyan, because you compare the at to the chamor. Over here, when you say harei kuchem, v'chat nishtei achayot, one of the two sisters, in terms of the functional kinyan, there's no problem with establishing a kinyan with one of the two sisters. The failure is because it's kedushim she'in misurin the biyah. So, in terms of at v'chamor, there's no failure over here because both the one sister and the other parties are all valid kinyanim or parties to the kinyan or valid parties to kiddushin. The failure is a technical problem in kiddushin, which is these are kiddushin she'ain misurin the bi'ah. So because of that, it's not subject to pnei at v'chamor. All right, tashma. A mekadeshet bito stam. Person marries off one of his daughters. Ein abogrot bichlal. First statement is, anybody who is a bogeret, who's not under the auspices of their father, they're clearly not included in the kiddushin that the father established. Ha, tanot bichlal. But that means that, when you deal with minors, they are included over here. Now, what the Gemara is going to say now is, there has to be some sort of parallel in the Mishnah. Bogrot is plural. Tanot is plural. That means that here a father married off his daughter. Now, he married off not the daughters that are already of age where they're on their own. He married off the daughters that are still under his auspices. But that's daughters. Now, he married off only one of them. and it's one out of his daughters. But all of them now are subject to this rule, which is that each one of them has to get a get from this individual, because we don't know which of the daughters. This is a kedushin, she'en misurin the biyah. There's no way that this individual can consummate the marriage, because he doesn't know which of the daughters he's married to. And the other daughters are sisters to the one that he is engaged to halachically. V'amai, kedushim she'en misurin the biyah, ninhu, b'tiyufta de Rava. Once again, this is a strong refutation of Rava's position. Amr l'cha Rava, hachamai eskinan she'en shem ela gdola uktana. There's only one older sister and one younger sister, meaning one who's already on her own auspices, her own reconnaissance, and one that is under the auspices of her father. Where it says, ha-bogrot k'tani. The Mishnah says, bogrot. Bogrot means plural. My bogrot, bogrot alma. So that means bogrot in general. The plural here is not that he has multiple daughters that are of that age, but rather any person who has a daughter who is above the age where the father has auspices over them, they're not subject to this safek. So then we keep it as a k'tana and gdola. Where it says, yochi ma'la memra. Then according to Rava, what is the chiddush of this Mishnah anymore? You have a Mishnah that says, if you have two daughters, and he married off one of the daughters. Now one daughter is under his auspices, the k'tana, and the other daughter he has nothing to do with, because she's on her own now. So what obvious, which daughter he married, why is there any safek over here? What do you have to tell me about? Hachamai eskinan dishavite shaliach. The older daughter made him into a proxy, a messenger, to accept kiddushin on her behalf. Ma'u detema. What would I have thought? Ki mikabel kiddushe adaita didak amikabel. When he accepts the kiddushin, he accepts it not only on behalf of the daughter who is under his auspices, but also on behalf of the daughter who he is acting as an agent for. Kamash v'lan, delo shavik inish midei de'itle hanamine. Person doesn't give up something that he has hanah from. Because, in the case of his daughter who's a minor, he will receive the Kiddushei Kesef. They'll belong to him. The case where he's an agent for his daughter who is already on her own, the Kiddushei Kesef will go to his daughter. So it's clear that he would favor the younger daughter over the older daughter, because there he'll get direct hana, he'll get the Kiddushei Kesef. It says, Milo askinan da'amarle Kiddushei lididach. May be the case there is a case where the older daughter said, you can keep the Kesef Kiddushin as well. Not that that has to be the case, but it's not precluded from being the case. It could be a case where he's an agent and he also gets the money. So it's equally beneficial to him to marry off the older daughter and the younger daughter. Afilo achi, lo shavek inish mitzvah derami alei, v'avi mitzvah delo rami alei. So here's a principle that a person will always do the mitzvah that relates to himself first versus a mitzvah that relates to someone else. Over here, as Rashi notes over here, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, that says, in Yirmiyahu, v'et benotechem tnu l'nashim, that you have to give your daughters to men. And the Gemara there asks, how do you do that? And it says you give them a good dowry, you dress them up nicely, you make them appealing to other men. So in that case, you have an obligation to marry off your daughter. That applies to the Ktana. The Gdola, you don't have that obligation. Even if you're an agent on her behalf, you don't have that obligation. So therefore, the person will clearly favor his younger daughter over the older daughter, even though he's acting on behalf of both of them. But in one case, there's an obligation on him to act on behalf, the Ktana, whereas the Gdola is only acting as an agent. And as an agent, he doesn't have that same level of obligation. He's a fiduciary, but he's not an obligatory party. And therefore, he will favor the Ktana, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Now, it still does leave a problem, because we saw earlier in the Masechta that one is not allowed to marry off their daughter who's a Ktana. Gemara said, we don't want you doing that, even though the Balei HaTosfot said over there that that was their practice anyway, because of carpe diem, you have to seize the moment when you could have a dowry and you can marry off the daughter. Nonetheless, the Gemara says you can't marry off a ktana. So either you have to suggest over here that ktana does not literally mean a ktana, but a nara, where the father does have auspices over the daughter, but she's already of age before she reaches the age of bugeret. Or you have to say there's a distinction, which some of the Rishonim made before, between a ktana who has dat versus a ktana who doesn't have dat. That means a ktana doesn't have dat, you can't marry off. A ktana already understands and can form an opinion about the marriage. Maybe that ktana already, you could marry off, and that would be the explanation over here. In addition, many of the Rishonim, not here, but in the location of this Mishnah, discuss the fact that if the daughter appointed the father to marry a specific man, and then he goes and accepts kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, with this specific man, over there we do not have a safek that shliach oseh shlichuto, that an agent carries out his agency. And therefore, since the daughter specifically asked him to marry this man, we'll assume that he did his shlichut, his agency, and he wasn't doing it on behalf of his daughter who was a minor. because he has a fiduciary responsibility to the older daughter who asked him to specifically marry this man. So in that case, there would be no safek. The only safek we have, which is cleared up by this Mishnah, is in a case where it's a man where she just gave him free rein to marry whoever he wants for her as an agent. Tashma, mi sheyesh lo shtei kitei banot, mi shtei nashim. Person has two sets of daughters from two wives. Vamar, kidashti et biti agdola. I married off my oldest daughter. Ve'en yodea, I don't know, im gdola shebigdolot. It's the oldest of the oldest. Im gdola shebigtanot. Or it's the oldest of the youngest set. So basically he had sequential marriages. The first marriage he has a set of daughters, and the second marriage he has a set of daughters. So in the first marriage, all the daughters in the first marriage are older than the daughters in the second marriage. So now, right now, he doesn't know. When he said the oldest, does that mean the oldest of the first marriage or the oldest of the second marriage? Im ktana shebigdolot, or maybe even the youngest of the first marriage, she gdola min gdola shebigtanot, and she's older than all of the second marriage daughters. Kulan asurot, chutz miktana shebigtanot. Everyone is asur except for the youngest of the younger marriages, divrei Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says, relative to anyone else, every daughter is older than someone else, except for the youngest of the youngest. And therefore, they could all be deemed as a gdola. What's the case there in the Mishnah? Kishukru ulusof nitarvu. It's a case where he knew who he married off originally, and then he forgot. Dekanami. That you could be medayek from the Lashon HaMishnah Nidarim. Ditani eni yodeya. It says, I don't know. Belotani ein yadua. It's not known. Ein yadua means that it was never known what the facts were, because he married off the gdola, and we don't know what the meaning of gdola is. No, here he married off the gdola, and when he did it, he understood what he was doing, and he knew who he was referring to. Later on, he forgets what he meant by gdola. So that's not a problem for Rava, because at the time of Kiddushin, it was Misur in the Biya. The problem only arises after the fact, and that's far it's not a question on Rava, Shmamina, Yochi, Maila Memra. If that's the case, what's the Kiddush anymore? But it says, Lafuke mid Rabbi Yossi. Comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Yossi, Damar lo machidinish nafshe the speka, which is the nature of the sugya in the darim, which is, does a person put themselves in a position of safek? Rabbi Meir says yes. That's why the person now is ending up in this problematic situation. Will he use a terminology which is ambiguous and get himself into a bind? Rabbi Yossi says people don't use language, or if they do use the language, they definitely don't mean it, because they don't want to get themselves into problems of safek. Now, even though in the Gemara and the Darim, it's obvious that Rabbi Yossi argues on Rabbi Meir, and it's clear Rabbi Meir's position is to the exclusion of Rabbi Yossi, nevertheless, the Gemara says here, based on that, the Maila Memra, the Chiddush in Rabbi Meir, is to make it clear that he doesn't subscribe to that position of Rabbi Yossi. Kamash Malan, the Machidish Nafshe the Sveika. Kamash Malan, that people do put themselves in these precarious positions, and that's what causes the whole problem in that Mishnah and the Darim. Tashma. Misha Kidesh Achat Mishte Achayot, Ve'enu Yodea Ezu Kidesh. Person married one of two sisters, and he doesn't know which of the two that he married. Vatein get lezu, v'get lezu. He has to give a get to each one of them. So again, kiddushin erchal, even though he said one of two sisters, that is a problem for Rova. It's again a case where the time of kiddushin he knew who he married. Now he doesn't remember. Deganami. Again, you can mean dayek at a lashon of Mishnah that's the case. Diktani eni yodeya. I don't know now. Velotani eno yadua. Doesn't say that it was never known, but rather only now I don't know what I did. Yochi maila memra. Again, then what's the chiddush over here? Seifa yitzrichole. The seifa we need, because that's the chiddush over here. Mate velo achechad. He passes away, this individual, and he has one brother. Choleitz lishtehem. He has to do chalitza with both of them, because he doesn't know which one is the mitzvah yibum. And if he performs yibum with one of them, he might hit the yivama, but he also might result in what's called achot zikukato, which is that the other woman is really his yivama, zikukalo, and he has a bind to that woman, and now he's marrying her sister, which is osur midrabanan, achot zikukato, and therefore he needs to do chalitza with both women. Hayulo shnayim, if he has two brothers, echad choleitz vechad miyabim, one of them performs chalitza, the other brother then can perform yibum with the other sister, because one of two situations, circumstances here. Either the chalitza was performed with the first sister was meaningless, because she was not the yivama, and the second brother who marries the yivama is marrying the yivama, and everything's fine. Or, the chalitza that was performed with the first sister was a proper chalitza. She was the zekuka liyibum, now he's released it. Now when he goes to the second brother, marries the other sister, he's marrying a woman who has no relation to him. It's no longer achot zukukato. Achot zukukato is only relevant while she is kuka. Once the zika is removed, then there's no achot zukukato left. So if he marries the other woman, if she's an achriya, and she's a sister of him, was once his zukukah, that's not a problem. Me'abeim, meaning that he has to do it in a way that creates kiddushin as well. He'll do mamar, he'll do it in a way that creates kiddushin. Im kadmu v'kansu. What happens if both our brothers marry the two sisters? Ein motzim otam yadam. We do not separate them. Because after the fact, we can't get either one of them to divorce. We go to one of them and say, you got to divorce this woman. She is a chotz kukato. He says, no, I got the yevama. And then you go to the other brother. He says, I got the yevama. What about the one who really didn't get the yevama? At this point, it doesn't matter. Because his brother performed yibum with the sister. The zika is gone. So now, after the fact, there's no reason to force a separation over here, because at this point, one of them is married to Yevama, one of them was married to Achot Zukukato, but the Zukuka, or the Zika, is gone now. So there's no Isser left. So therefore we leave the marriage intact. So Davka Michlitz Vado Yevume. That Mishnah is going to teach you that you first have to do Chalitza, and then Yibum. Aval Yevume Vado Michlitz Lo. But if the one brother did Yibum, and then the second brother did Chalitza, that doesn't work. The Kapaga Achot Zukukato. Because then you bump into Achot Zukukato, when the one who did Yibum has a risk of Achot Zukukato. Now again, after the fact, we may not change anything, but we're telling you the Chatzchilo, if you wanted, one wants to do Chalitza and one you do Yibum, you do the Chalitza first and then the Yibum afterwards. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Tashma, Shnaim Shikidshu Shtei Achayot. Two people married two sisters. V'zeinu Yodea Izu Kidesh, V'zeinu Yodea Izu Kidesh. The two parties, they don't know which one they got kiddushin with. Each one of them has to give two divorces because they're not certain as to which sister. Again, that's kiddushin shalom misurin debiya, proof against Rava. Hachanami, here's the case again. Shukru l'sof nitarvu. It's a case where they knew originally which one they married and then they can't figure it out anymore. Dekanami titani eni yodea. Again, it says, I don't know now. Lotani eni yadua. It wasn't known originally. Shmamina. Again, then what's the Kiddush? If they forgot after the fact, the Kiddushin are Chal, of course he has to give a get to both of them. There's nothing to do besides that. So Gemara Seifa Yitzrichale, we need the Seifa, which is mate, Mila means mate, do they both die? The two individuals who created Kiddushin with these two sisters, they pass away. Each one of them has a brother. Both of them have to do Chalitza with both women, because you have a risk of Achot Zukukato in all of these cases. They either could hit the Yevama, or he could hit the sister of what would be his Yevama. And therefore he needs to do Chalitza with both of them. Each brother has to do Chalitza with both women. If one of them has one brother, but the other one has two brothers, the one does Chalitza with both of them because he can't do anything else. He doesn't have a choice. He's got to do Chalitza with both of them because he doesn't have an option to marry because he has a risk of Achot Zukukato. The one who has two brothers, Echad Choleitz V'Echad Miyabeim. Then one does Chalitza, and the other one does Zibum. In that order. Im kadmu v'kansu. Again here, if both brothers go ahead and marry these two women, in motzi natan miyadan. We don't take them out of their hands. Again, dafka milchlatz vader yivume. Here again, it's only if they do Chalitza, and then do Yibum, ava yivume v'hadar milchlatz. They do Yibum, and then do Chalitza lo. The ka paga bi yivama l'shuk. Because he has a risk that he's marrying a yivama that belongs to the shuk. Because over here, the possibilities are not just about Achot Zukukato. The possibility is that this sister was really married to the other party, to the other person who wasn't their brother. And she was married to them and now falls to Yibum, to the brother that's there. That brother must do Chalitza first, because that Chalitza releases her to the Shuk. If he doesn't do that release, then it's a possibility that she's really Yivama to the other party. And now he's Pogeya, not in Achot Zukukato. He's pogea possibly in a yivama l'shuk. Because we know for sure one sister belongs to the other brother, one sister belongs to them. So when he marries both of them, or they marry both the women there, then you have a risk, which is, it could be yivama, could be achot zukukato, or it also could be that she is a yivama l'shuk, which is that she is designated to the brother of the other party. And that makes her not released yet to the shuk, and not marriageable at this point. And therefore, you need to have the Chalitza be done by the one brother first in order to release the women, in order that these two can then perform Chalitza and Yibum to perform it. Now again, if they do Yibum, after the first brother's done chalitza, we let it go through like we did in the previous Mishnah, because after the fact, there's no achot zukukato that is left. All right, so we'll stop here, four lines down on the top of Nun Bet Amud Aleph.